The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
There's a man who has managed to build a YouTube following of multiple thousands. He has got himself onto CBS Sunday Morning. He's got himself onto NPR. He has done a worldwide tour, which he's in the middle of. He's going to be coming to the Academy in Dublin on July 18th. All off the basis of the sandwich. Barry W. Enderwick, he is author of Sandwiches of History, the cookbook, all the best and most surprising things people have put between slices of bread. Barry, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you made this ridiculous decision to do a YouTube channel wherein you would make a sandwich a day, every day, and post the video of doing that. Did you think through the implications of this when you started?
Absolutely not. No. You know, it just sounded like a fun way to kind of explore sandwiches of old and incorporate it as part of my daily routine because, you know, I have to eat lunch. But man, I have had a lot of sandwiches.
You also, though, have to buy the ingredients because some of what you are serving in sandwich form is not the kind of standard fare that you just dig out of your fridge.
No, that is true. I frequent the stores and spend a fair amount of money on ingredients, much to the chagrin of my significant other.
Let's walk then through the sublime to the ridiculous. And by the ridiculous, I mean the awful. We'll start at the awful, the original version one of the yeast sandwich. Discuss.
Yeah. So this was born out of a campaign by Fleischmann Brothers back in the 1920s who saw their sales dip because, sliced bread came on the market and people were not baking at home as much. So they came up with an idea with a marketing agency in New York called the Eat Fresh Yeast for Health campaign. Unfortunately, the result of that was many recipes, including the yeast sandwich from 1936's 1001 Sandwiches, called for buttered bread, a compressed yeast cake, which is fresh yeast, mixed with table sauce, which the first version I did, I tried it with ketchup. And, you know, I've never eaten wallpaper paste, but I imagine that's the texture.
You then modified it, though, I think, to a secondary version with Worcestershire sauce. Is that right?
Yes. And I would say it was slightly better, but still not palatable or something I'd want to eat.
What of the recipes that you've done? Because you've taken sandwiches. I mean, some of your sandwiches are several thousand years old. Some of them are hundreds of years old. Some of them are more modern. What have been the standouts where you thought, that's a good sandwich?
There was one that I tried from mid-century 1950s, and it was this weird fever dream of a sandwich that I didn't think was going to work at all, and it was actually pretty good. It's the sophisticated club sandwich, which is actually on the cover of my cookbook. It's got ham, it's got cheese, it's got pineapple, it's got avocado, it's got tomato, it's got bacon, it's got peanut butter. It's just, it very much screams mid-century, but somehow it works.
Well, this has been one of the things that I found interesting in some of the older sandwiches that you have been subjected to. There's a worrying amount of fruit.
I don't know that I would call it a worrying amount. You know, sandwiches have evolved. They weren't always necessarily lunch. They would be part of a multi-course meal, or they'd be served with tea, or they'd be something you'd have on a picnic. So they weren't always intended to be full meals. And so to that end, you'd have sweet sandwiches.
Prunes, Barry?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
prunes.
They're good for you.
Well, while we're on the fruit topic, because technically it's in this area, you have one that I think is a greatly undervalued sandwich, the tomato or tomato sandwich, as you would put it.
Yeah, well, I've done quite a few tomato sandwiches. My favorite is a more recent invention from a restaurant called Turkey and the Wolf in New Orleans. It's phenomenal. But I've done a number of tomato sandwiches, and they go from the simple, which is just mayonnaise, salt, pepper, tomato, to that one from New Orleans, which is, you know, mayonnaise, griddled bread, sunflower seeds, lemon juice, dill, basil. And it's one of those sandwiches where you think, okay, this is going to be good. And then you taste it. And it's like, how is this so good?
I've also noticed you have done an awful lot of nationalities. So you've done Japan, you've done Vietnam, you've done UK, you've done US. Yep. Maybe I do you a disservice in this, but I have yet to see a sandwich of Ireland mentioned on your channel or book.
I've done two, actually.
Oh,
Yeah, I did the chicken, I don't know if I'm going to say this correctly, but I've done the chicken fillet sandwich or chicken fillet.
Correct, we pronounce the T, the chicken fillet roll. Yep, good.
Chicken fillet roll, yes. I've done the chicken fillet roll and I did an Irish egg salad sandwich.
Oh, how is the Irish egg salad sandwich different to anybody else's egg salad sandwich? I thought they were universal.
You know, it's been so long, I don't remember.
Well, can I make two recommendations to you for experimentation?
Absolutely.
Are you familiar with the crisp sandwich?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. In fact, I have another social media channel called In the Chips with Barry. And on that, I was pushed to try the Tato cheese and onion crisp sandwich many years ago, and it was a revelation.
Good work, Barry. Yes. Good work. Okay, well, if I couldn't stump you with that, what about, are you familiar with the breakfast roll?
I've heard of the breakfast roll, but I've not had the breakfast roll.
Your life will be changed, Barry.
Well, I've got one more thing to do while I'm in Dublin.
Cover of your new cookbook. This will be the picture. If you want the basic ingredient, obviously there are variants on the theme, but the basic ingredient is you take a white crunchy roll, mm-hmm. butter it, then you insert bacon, fried egg, sausage, link, none of that round stuff that North Americans enjoy, black pudding, white pudding, and then you can complete it with either brown sauce or ketchup.
Ooh, okay. Yep. The black pudding is not something I've ever had before, but you know what? I'm up for trying things, so I'll give it a go.
You need to have your cardiologist either beside you while you eat it or on standby. But either way, it's well worth it.
So I'll put them on speed dial. That's
how good. Did you turn this into a live show? Because you've had one of the chefs from the Food Network who is, I'm sure her dance card is pretty full, but she was happy to come on this and do a live stage show with you and make sandwiches with you. How did you build this into what it is now?
So, you know, I don't exactly know, because I think of it as me making a sandwich in my kitchen. I'm just a guy making a sandwich. And somehow I've become friends with and had people follow on Instagram, because I do post on YouTube, but I also post on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Reddit. And they followed along and they're into it. And so I just asked and she said yes. Same goes for the drummer of the Black Keys and some other folks. H. John Benjamin is the voice of Bob on Bob's Burgers. It's like, how I don't know how this happened, but they're very kind, generous with their time. And, you know, the live show is, I created the live show with my tour producer because I wanted to do something that was akin to a book tour, but one that wasn't a book tour because the publishing company was not going to send me on a book tour. So created Sandwiches of History Live. It's a little bit about me talking about how this came to be as an account to a cookbook, a little history on me, because I don't go into that. Then I do a very brief history of sandwiches, and then we do a little trivia battle with the audience, and then I bring out a special guest, and we make a sandwich and plus it up with ingredients that the audience chooses blindly.
Does the special guest get to pick their sandwich, or do you walk them through a sandwich of your choice?
Well, no, they don't get to pick the sandwich, but I do run everything by them, including the potential plus-up ingredients, just to make sure there's no aversions or allergies.
Are you a chef by training?
No, not at all. My day job is I'm a partner in a marketing consulting firm. So no, not. I'm just a curious guy who loves to cook and eat. And I've been passionate about cooking since my 20s. And I'm always curious on everything, not just cooking, but very curious about flavors, textures, history. And just it's my all the social media channels that I have are food related, which it's probably telling.
And what do your partners in the marketing firm think of you spending all of your time, or not all of your time, but a significant amount of your time? Do they ever say, Barry, for God's sake, concentrate on the clients?
No, actually, I've been myself and my friend Gary McMath, who we were founding partners back in 2013. We had worked at Netflix together for 8 years, so we've been friends for a very long time, and they get a thrill from everything that's been happening with Sandwiches of History. And, you know, we manage our time. And if I'm not around, they can cover and it works out.
So you were with Netflix from the early-ish 2000s. Did you have equity?
Yeah.
Tell me you had equity, Barry. Did you have equity?
2001. Yes, I had a little bit of equity.
Nice.
But I will say this. I never foresaw it the stock hitting $1,000 per share. But hey, I did okay. I did okay.
That explains the capacity to purchase all of the sandwich ingredients, Barry. Can we talk a little bit about the cucumber?
We can.
Because my father, his father went to the UK in the mid-50s when there wasn't a lot of work in Ireland. And mm-hmm. my father was sent to visit him. And he was given a sandwich. He didn't know what the ingredients were. He bit into it. Now, this happened in 1956. I can still remember this story vividly. It was his first and only introduction to the cucumber. It was like he had been assaulted. He still resented it 50 years later. Does the cucumber have any role in a sandwich, Barry?
Absolutely. It brings freshness. It brings crunch. And, you know, you could do it as simple as butter, cucumber, and bread. But it also adds a nice freshness, a nice texture to a sandwich. So, I mean... I think what happened was his expectations were for something different, and you know, if you're expecting a ham or a beef sandwich and you get handed a cucumber sandwich, that's quite a difference.
Now, so far, I have been unable to get you to absolutely decry any specific sandwich.
If you want me to talk bad about a sandwich, the oyster sandwich from the up-to-date sandwich book that was published in 1909, I like oysters on the half shell. I do. I enjoy them quite a bit. This called for raw oysters chopped up, mixed with olive oil, Worcestershire sauce, and put between buttered bread with lettuce.
Oh, yeah. That's gooey.
Textural nightmare.
You had to make this and then eat it. Was there ever a moment where you thought this isn't going to work?
Oh, yeah, when I read it.
Well, if you want to see Barry with these sandwiches and more, he is going to be in the Green Room at the Academy in Dublin Friday, July 18th. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster. And the book, of course, is Sandwiches of History, the cookbook. All the best and most surprising things people have put between slices of bread. Barry, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.